This is Radio Times. I'm Artie Moss-Cohen. Our guest, acclaimed and versatile actor John C. Reilly's film career, has highlighted his singing and musical abilities. He played Amos Hart in Chicago and was nominated for an Oscar for a supporting role. He also played Dewey Cox in the biopic spoof Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story. He has a band, John Reilly and Friends, that has been touring, and they're playing tonight at the World Cafe Live at 8 o'clock in West Philadelphia. They feature bluegrass and country and folk standards. John Reilly joins us along with two band members, Tom Brasseau and Becky Stark, and let me officially introduce them all to you. John C. Reilly has actually released two singles, produced and released by Jack White. And John Reilly, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you very much.
I was going to say, it's been a very busy 5 minutes here in the studio getting these guys set up. Becky Stark is an LA-based musician, a songwriter with the band Lavender Diamond. Becky Stark, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. And Tom Brasseau, as I said, he's also an LA-based folk singer-songwriter, has released something like 10 recordings since 2002. And Tom, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Pleasure is mine.
So how did you get these, John Reilly, how did you find these two people?
Well, we all kind of found each other, and I suppose we found each other because of this music that we play together. I had been interested in this music for a long time. I mean, specifically bluegrass harmony kind of music and old folk standards and country songs. And Becky and I met in my neighborhood in Los Angeles.
She was singing at your child's birthday party. Do I have that right?
I think so. Although
that's what I read anyway.
It's true. You don't remember?
No, I remember that for sure. But I'm just wondering if we met before that too, because we kept bumping into each other, these sort of magical occurrences, which are frequent with Becky.
Once you
know Becky,
right?
She's a magical person. And anyway, one of the bands, I mean, everyone here is in various bands. Also, I want to mention that with us today, Sebastian Steinberg.
Absolutely.
Who
on
plays
bass.
Bass with us, and also quite a talented chap, and we're lucky to have him with us. But Becky and I, we met, and I heard she had this band called the Living Sisters. And I went to see them one night, and opening for them was Tom Brasseau.
Wow.
And
wow.
After I picked my jaw up off the table, listening to the two of them sing that night, I thought, I think I've found some soulmates here. Mm-hmm. And we started to play together, and well, here we are.
And what's your version, Tom?
Oh, it's the exact same version right there, to a T. Yeah, I just remember meeting John back then, maybe about 2003 or 2004 in Los Angeles. And, you know, as he said already, we all kind of came together mm-hmm. because of the love of this music, traditional music, bluegrass music, country music. It's all in our bones.
Well, and it sounds like, and I do want to have you play something, but to you, John Reilly, it sounds like it's also some of the music that you grew up listening to with your parents even.
Yeah. Not so much bluegrass, because in Chicago, that was the only bluegrass in Chicago when I was a kid was the Beverly Hillbillies, but some great bluegrass on that show, Flat and Scruggs, so it was a good introduction. But I listened to a lot of old traditional Irish music and I listened to a lot of blues, too, and at a certain point I realized, like, I'm too optimistic to play the blues.
So, too happy a guy?
Yeah. I don't know. The blues requires a certain amount of pain that I just hadn't earned yet, but I'm still young.
You're working on it, right? You could experience. Well, we'd love to have you play a song for us. What do you
have? All right.
Have?
This is an optimistic bluegrass song. Well, I learned it from the Stanley Brothers. Now, darling, I've tried, I've never done wrong. I've been fair to you, you know, all day long. Why treat me this way? You're breaking my heart, I'm lonesome for you. So far apart, it's never too late to start over new. I've loved you so long, you know I've been true. Please come back to me,
heart is so blue, it's never too late to start over new. Now when you are tired, your new love gone down, I hope you'll return, and I'll still be around. I love you so well, you know I will wait, but remember these words, never too late. It's never too late to start over new. I've loved you so long, you know I've been true. Please come back to me, my heart is so blue. It's never too late to start over new. It's never too late to start over.
Was John Riley singing, and on guitar, Becky Stark singing, and Tom Brasseau also singing, and on guitar, and Sebastian Steinberg on bass, and they are John Riley and friends. They'll be performing tonight at World Cafe Live and clearly performing with us here in our Philadelphia studio on Radio Times. And that was a Stanley Brothers song. I assume it's called It's Never Too Late. I figured that out. John Riley, what do you like about that song besides the fact that it's beautiful?
Well, it's that great combination of tragedy and hopefulness. You know, it's like they're the person's not with them anymore, but there's always that chance that something might work out. I just love that yearning quality to a lot of bluegrass songs, and that one in particular. It's not one of the more well-known Stanley Brothers songs, but it's one of my favorites.
Well, and I wonder for you, Tom, is this music that you grew up listening to or that you had a kind of affection for, affinity for?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of all connected. The stuff that I listened to growing up was what my grandfather Dean listened to, which was the Ink Spots and the Mills Brothers.
Oh, really?
And, you know, once you start digging around in that music from the 30s and 40s, you know, you're bound to come across the bluegrass because it's all a part of that beautiful spider web.
And how about for you, Becky?
Well, you know, I grew up listening to the top 40 religiously with my mother. That was instead of church. We'd have the Church of Popular Culture. I'm serious.
And which top 40 as you were growing up?
Casey Kasem's top 40.
Gotcha.
And we'd have to listen to the whole top 40 on Sunday morning. And then we'd go to the record store. We had a very beautiful ritual around this. We'd buy the records that we loved best, and then we'd listen to our new records and old records from my mother's 45 collections, and we'd have to write essays and have formal discussions about them. I'm not kidding. It was very serious in my household. My mother is a very extraordinary woman.
Okay. I would join that church, by the way.
Right, the Church of Popular Culture. We had to write essays on, like, I remember writing one on Karma Chameleon, the song by Boy George.
Oh, really?
On the meaning of karma and what karma chameleon meant. But
and what did it
I
mean?
Love that
yeah,
song.
That's not yeah, really.
What I bought the first Culture Club record because I thought, that's a pretty girl. That lead singer is a pretty girl.
Would she grade your papers?
No, it wasn't grades. It was, you know, it was just our family culture.
Yeah.
But my grandfather's from Tennessee, and when I discovered this music, actually, you know, it really is in my, it's in my bones, like Tom said. But I hadn't really gotten so deeply into it until I met you guys, although I loved, always loved listening to Dolly Parton. Emmylou Harris and Linda Ronstadt.
It's funny how this this music pulls people from all over the world. It's, you know, it's generally thought of as a Southern thing or an Appalachian thing, but that might have been where it arrived in our country. But everyone that we play with is from all over the world. I mean, all over the country, certainly. And I don't know. It's been a really amazing process peeling back the layers of the onion of this music, because you start, like, maybe you learn something from the Everly Brothers, say, who are a very popular band in the 50s and 60s.
Sure.
Then you realize, like, wait, what were the Everlys listening to? And so you go back behind them, and it's the Louvin Brothers, and then before them, the Delmore Brothers, and before them. And before you know it, you're out of the recorded music era, and you're into sheet music, and you realize, like, wait a minute, this stuff came over on ships from England and Ireland, and who knows before that? Maybe it was some poem set to music, you know, as part of the oral tradition.
Well, and then you realize, too, that poetry and music did not exist separately until the 20th century, until T.S. Eliot, right? There was no such thing as a poem without a melody. And there were these great melodies that existed as the language of culture.
Were you looking for voices, though, that would match your voice or provide a kind of counterbalance or enhance your voice generally?
I was just looking for fellow seekers.
Is that right? Of this kind of music?
Yeah. I mean, there's people that say that they love this music, and, you know, they're out there. There's people that like listening to this music, but people that are really committed enough to really make it part of their life's mission. I felt very, very lucky. It was a kind of harmonic convergence that I met these guys. And not only that, but it's not just a performance. Like, we actually really love each other, and there's a lot of harmony between us. Like, I don't know, it sounds corny, but we're not pushing any agenda other than sharing this music with the world, which already belongs to the world, you know?
Is that your perspective too, Tom?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, it's all a part of this unknown. It's everybody's music, really. People add to it. I don't think anybody ever takes away from it, you know? It's just always, it's always changing. It's always a beautiful thing. It changes with the times.
And you all love each other?
Oh, love each other, yes.
And you travel together, right?
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, yeah. It's a great thing to travel and play music, yeah.
Well, indeed. Hold on to that thought, only because we have to take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. Talking with John Reilly and friends. John Reilly, you probably know from the movies. He's also a musician, and he's put a group together. They're performing tonight at World Cafe Live. They are performing for us on Radio Times. We're very excited about that. Also with us, Becky Stark and Tom Brosseau. We're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation, some more music as well. You can also give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Join the conversation. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane. I do want to play Gonna Lay Down My Old Guitar by the Delmore Brothers. And this is performed by our guests, John Reilly and Tom Brosseau. It's produced by Jack White. The song is the A-side of a 7-inch single called John and Tom, and it's on Jack White's Third Man Records. Let's give it a listen.
Gonna lay down my old guitar. Gonna lay down my old guitar. Oh, I wish I could tie it to my side and take it along with me.
There's no one to cry for me. There's no one to cry for me. I've wandered away so far, don't you see? There's no one to cry for me.
I'm sick in a lonesome bed. I'm sick in a lonesome bed. There's no one to hold. Alone someday, gonna lay down.
I'm going to lay down my old guitar by the Delmore Brothers, performed by our guests John Riley and Tom Brasseau from album, or I guess I should say a single, on Jack White's Third Man Records. I have to say,
that's Jack on the drums, too. There.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, I was wondering about that. I mean, I like the kind of spare sound of it.
Yeah, we recorded that down in Nashville, Jack's house. He just invited us down there, and next thing you know, we had a record on Third Man Records. And
is that how it works?
Yeah, we also made a single with Becky as well, the two sides Becky and I did together, and then we kind of split it up that way, and we sell them at our shows. So if you like that record, come out to the show tonight at World Cafe Live.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was looking at a couple of some of the movies that you have been in. You came in here and said, I don't want to talk about movies, but there have been some movies where you sing. Including the Prairie Home Companion movie, the Dewey movie, and also Chicago. Did that kind of give you a taste of what it could be to be a singer?
Well, I grew up doing musicals. I had a very musical household, so I've always been singing. And I started playing the guitar when I was a teenager, so it's always been sort of a private thing. And then it just, it starts to creep into my film work. You know, once they know you can do something, people start to ask you to do it, whether it's dancing or whatever. But, in fact, I bought this guitar for the Prairie Home Companion movie. Woody Harrelson and I played singing cowboys in that movie, and I bought this guitar.
It's a Gibson, right?
Yeah, it's a 1942 Gibson.
Wow. Is that your go-to guitar?
Yeah, this is Charlie. Call him Charlie.
He's a good friend,
right?
He's
kept me very good company, yeah.
Where did you get that guitar?
At a store in New York City called Matt Umanov Guitars.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a
famous
place.
They got all the...
And Tom, how long have you been playing guitar?
I've been playing guitar since I was in grade school, you know. I'm still learning, but it was my best friend. I was kind of a loner, maybe, when I was growing up. And so I had the acoustic guitar to keep me company. My very best friend.
Your very best friend, too.
Yeah,
did you
doubt.
Name your guitarist?
No, not yet. No, I'm not at that level.
You don't know them that well?
No, don't know them that well.
But you were kind of a loner?
Oh, yeah. Well, in fact, most people didn't even know that I sang or performed. My brother was a performer in our family. And so when I, kind of made the break to do music, people were pretty shocked. Because I, for the most part, just played in my room on my bed, Garth Brooks songs and, some of the popular songs of the day, I suppose, in the 90s.
So do you like now performing in front of people?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. No, I've always wanted to be a performer. I've always wanted to... used to dress up when I was a kid in Indiana Jones attire and stuff like that. I always wanted to be in the movies, actually.
In your room, though?
Yeah, my room, yeah. I had little Batman capes and probably should have cut that out a long time ago, but sometimes I still put on a cape. And,
do you do? Even today?
Even today.
Oh, just to kind of get that feeling?
Sure.
Can you top that?
Oh, my goodness. I mean... Well, no way, Jose.
Did you always know you wanted to be a singer?
Yeah, did you always know?
Well, no, I didn't know that. I wanted to be a painter. I wanted to be a academic. I wanted to be a literary theorist.
Oh, did you really?
I did.
You went all to those essays your mother made. Right?
That's right.
No, I mean, I wanted to be a thousand things, but... I wanted to be a dancer. But I love singing so much, and singing is something that comes so naturally, and it makes so much sense in a way that that I can't explain. I guess it's interesting how people find what it is they do. For me, it's, I think, ultimately that I love singing so much. It's such a powerful love, and I love singing in harmony so much. So I love that's why I love playing with these guys, because we just all love to sing in harmony so much.
Well, that's a perfect setup for another song, John Riley. What do you have
all
for
right,
us?
We're going to do a song called Wayward Traveler. I saw a wayward traveler upon a dusty road.
He trudged along, his head bowed low, beneath a heavy load. I stopped to speak and clasped his hands. By Jesus I was led. He looked at me with tear-dimmed eyes, and this is what he said. A pilgrim am I, and a stranger here, all burdened with toil and care. On earth I have no dwelling place, I look for a city foursquare. I often grow weary with longing to go to that home and fair. For I am just a stranger here, but I'll be no stranger up there. I have a friend who walks with me through every shadow's veil. His loving arm is there to hold me in the wildest gale. And when this earthly race is run, I know his nail-scarred hands will safely lead my weary soul into a better land. A pilgrim am I, and a stranger here, all burdened with toil and care. On earth I have no dwelling place, I look for a city foursquare. I often grow weary with longing to go to that home and fair. For I am just a stranger here, but I'll be no stranger up there. A pilgrim am I, and a stranger here, all burdened with toil and care. On earth I have no dwelling place, I look for a city foursquare. I often grow weary with longing to go to that home and fair. For I am just a stranger here, but I'll be no stranger up there. For I am just a stranger here, but I'll be no stranger up there.
Very nice. Wayward Traveler, performed by our guests John Riley and friends, including John Riley, Tom Brosseau, Becky Stark, and Sebastian Steinberg. And our guests on Radio Times, and again, they'll be performing tonight at World Cafe Live. Are those your own harmonies, John Riley, or are they pretty traditional harmonies?
They are eternal harmonies.
Eternal. That's math. I mean, it is. Harmony is math.
It's math. I mean,
but I have to say, the real heavy labor of figuring out the harmonies falls to Becky and Tom, who have incredible musical ears. You know, I can pull a harmony out if I practice hard, but I'm usually the one carrying the water for the melody, and these guys are the ones finding those sweet spots, those magical places that make it all. Make three become one.
Well, and what I noticed in you singing the song, Tom, is that you were looking down, playing your guitar and singing, and you, Tom and Becky, you were looking at each other while you were singing.
But then I started to get distracted. I had to close my eyes.
Well, live radio, I wanted to make sure I didn't play a wrong chord on the guitar. Normally, we do exchange quite a few glances, but you're right. That time I was just saying, don't make a mistake. Don't make a mistake.
Well, but it is math. But it feels so good. I mean, that's part of the what's so magical about it. It creates these resonances that are very very good for you.
Yeah. When two people sing harmony together, or three people sing harmony together, something else is in the room that wasn't there before, which is as close to magic, I think, as human beings can actually accomplish.
But when you say math, I think of, you know, thirds, fifths, something like that. Yeah, but I think you mean something more than that.
Well, no, it is math. I mean, if you, like, for instance, harmony is related to sacred geometry. So all of these patterns in nature correlate in music, in plant forms, in crystal forms. And actually, it also relates to astrological formations. These are geometric patterns, and that's why they're so...
everywhere.
They're beautiful because that's the fabric of our, you know, of our earth.
But I wonder, for Tom, is it a matter of writing things down on a piece of paper, or just sort of playing with your voices, the harmonies, to sort of figure out what works for a song?
Yeah, in my mind, that's kind of where it's at. You know, there's a lot of work that goes, you know, into doing harmony, but it's never much of a labor. It's so much fun to do, and especially when you're singing with Becky Stark, it's a lot of fun.
And how about singing at 11:30 in the morning? Is that an issue
for your voice? I sing at all hours.
It doesn't matter if it's in the morning. For you, John Riley?
Well, we've been giving it our all for a couple of shows now, so I'm a little bit froggy this morning, but, you know, nothing that would stop me from singing.
Well, we are listening to music this morning, John Riley and friends. Again, John Riley, who you know probably from going to the movies. He's been in more than 50 of them. I think that's the last count. Tom Brasseau with us, Becky Stark, who are singing with John Riley and Sebastian Steinberg on bass. And you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY. Were you in a band as a kid growing up?
I was in a band. We had a band in my garage called Shark Fighter.
Yeah.
With my brother. We played mostly AC/DC and Rolling Stones.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Shark Fighter.
Yeah. And then,
was that your name? Or
it just seemed like the most badass thing you could say. I will fight a shark.
Oh.
Yeah, and then we pretty much played in the – we were a garage band where we literally only played in the garage. And then we'd open the garage door and people would gather and watch us play. And yeah, then over the years I was in choruses and musicals and basically anywhere I could sing. Yeah. It just always seemed like the right thing to do.
I mean, it sounds like you were in a lot of musicals. I read somewhere that you would love to be Nathan in Nathan Detroit in Guys and Dolls.
Who wouldn't?
I know.
One of the greatest roles ever.
Can I just say?
Good old reliable Nathan.
Exactly. I went to an all-girls school. I was Nathan Detroit.
Wow. See, I did a lot of musicals at all-girls schools because they needed guys. I was like the imported meat. They'd bring us in when they needed those guys' roles, but good for you.
Yeah, really. Highlight of my teenage years.
I want to see you in a little pork pie hat.
Oh, it was fun. It was fun. We have a comment from Charlotte. As a kid growing up, experienced similar feelings towards music in terms of sharing it with friends and neighbors. The way they're describing it gives me new meaning. Thanks for the show. But I mean, it is about, and I guess when you're performing live in front of an audience, it is really sharing the music with people that you can see and see breathing.
I really
with
meant
you.
It. We're not, you know, a lot of times musicians on the road are trying to sell an album or they're trying to, I don't know, get famous or something. Like, we're really doing it because it becomes this community event. You know, these songs are not our songs. I feel like we're kind of like collecting seashells on the beach and then selling them back, and I feel like saying, like, the beach is right there. There's never, because of the internet, there's never been an easier time to discover old music, and I really want to encourage everyone out there to, like, sing it. Don't just listen to it. Sing it. They're easy to sing.
And it is also a celebration for us, really, of what is sacred, which is everything, by the way, people. Everything is sacred. And I wanted to mention that, especially after we played that last song. We do sing a lot of these old bluegrass songs, talk about Jesus. And, you know, Jesus was one facet of the multifaceted expression of what is sacred on this earth. Right, guys? So we're not like singing specifically from one perspective. We are just celebrating the beauty of community and music and the heart of that, you know.
Are there certain things you do, Tom, before performance, or is it just a matter of kind of being showing up and being present?
No, I love it so much. It's such a wonderful job to have. I try to visualize. It's kind of like what I do is visualize what it's going to be like when I get out there. And oftentimes it's, I don't know what this venue's going to look like, so I'll have a totally different impression in my mind than what it actually is. But by the time I get there, I'm pretty comfortable. That's the one thing that I do.
And just sort of picture what the space looks
right.
like. And
yeah, exactly. And you know, that I'm looking out at a nice crowd of smiley face people who are, you know, attentive and responsive. And it helps me. It helps me sing. It helps me kind of get there.
Do you play to one person? I mean, is there someone that you kind of keep an eye on when you're performing?
You play among
to the
us?
Crowd? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, out in the audience.
No, not so much. No, I don't think so. No, I feel like...
Some girls in the audience might beg
well,
to differ,
I was
Tom.
Right.
Certain girls feel like
right?
you're looking right at them. They've told me afterwards. Was Tom looking at me?
Tom is so handsome. That's what the old ladies say. He's so handsome.
Well, listen, I give winks when I can.
It works, right?
It does work.
Well, let's take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation and our concert. And again, it's an hour with John Reilly and friends. John Reilly with us playing guitar and singing. Tom Brosseau also playing guitar and singing. Becky Stark is singing. And we have Sebastian Steinberg on bass. We're going to take a very short break. Get back to our conversation and stay with us. You can also join the conversation. That phone number, 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. And stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen, and I do want to play John C. Reilly as Amos Hart singing Mr. Cellophane. This is from the 2002 film adaptation of the musical Chicago. The film won Best Picture at the Academy Awards, and John C. Reilly was nominated for an Oscar. Let's give it a listen.
Cellophane, Mr. Cellophane, should I been my name, Mr. Cellophane, 'cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there. I tell ya, cellophane, Mr. Cellophane, should I been my name, Mr. Cellophane, 'cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there.
That's from Chicago. So what do you think, John Reilly?
Oh, I love that movie.
You
I
sound
love
beautiful.
The songs in that show are just incredible. Like, if you don't get in the way of those songs, like, every one of them is a showstopper, and that one's certainly no exception. It's based on a famous song by Burt Williams called Nobody, which was a similar sentiment. He was like the biggest star of the Ziegfeld Follies, an African-American guy. He was the top of the tops at the time that he was performing. So some big shoes I was filling there.
Indeed. But, I mean, first of all, your voice sounds beautiful, but at the same time, it must be so different to sing for a movie versus singing on stage, which is what you'll be doing tonight.
Yeah.
Or maybe it isn't. I don't know.
Well, that movie was shot in a very theatrical way. I was lip-syncing but to my own recording, but I was also singing out. So I don't know. Yeah, it was a weird hybrid. But you are when you're doing a movie, you are performing for the people in front of you. It's just a smaller group of people. But, there's nothing like being in front of a live audience and having that give and take back and forth. And that's one of the things about our show that I'm really, really proud of, is that we don't just blast you with a bunch of sound with earpieces in our ears and overwhelm the audience where you're just supposed to sit back and take it. We meet you halfway, and then you meet us halfway with your ears, and it ends up being this really beautiful meeting.
Do you also like sort of not having to perform? I mean, in a sense, be yourself singing in front of people?
Well, I don't know who I am at this point, to tell you the truth.
It's a lifelong quest,
facets,
right?
facets That's of funny. Some kind of multi-dimensional personality. But, it is refreshing to be able to just speak honestly and what's on your mind, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I think that's why That's why stand-up comedy is so popular.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
What are you thinking about? So we have a good bit of that in the show, too.
Yeah. There is quite a bit of comedy because it's necessary.
It's necessary.
It turns out to be necessary because these songs are very sad. So, well, a lot of them that we play are, we go deep into the sadnesses. So then we've got to go deep into the laughter as well.
Do you think there's a connection between music and comedy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a connection between everything, Marty, to tell you the truth. If you look hard enough, all things are connected. All people,
mm-hmm.
all energy, everything that you put out into the world is going to come back in some way. So why not put out something good?
Well, I have to say to our listeners that during the break, you all were deciding. I love how just spontaneous it is, but you were deciding what should we sing, and you decided, excuse me, on blues?
Right.
So what are we going to hear?
This is our last song, and it's our parting wish for you and your audience, and I hope you all come and join us at the World Cafe tonight. It's called Blues Stay Away. I learned it from the Leuven Brothers.
Blue, stay away from me. Blues, why don't you let me be? Don't know why you keep on haunting me. Love was never meant for me. True love somehow we never can agree. Life is full of misery. Dreams are like a memory, bringing back love that used to be. Tears, so many I can't see. Years don't mean a thing to me. Time goes by and still I can't be. Don't you let me be. Don't know why you keep on haunting me.
Our guests, John Reilly and friends, John Reilly, Tom Brasseau, Becky Stark, and Sebastian Steinberg. And they are performing tonight at World Cafe and obviously performing for us here in our Philadelphia studio for Radio Times. John, if you can talk a little bit, we don't have a microphone for Sebastian, so we can't talk to him directly, but how did you find him? And that was a great couple of bass lines there for us.
Exactly. I love how Sebastian brings it up there in the rear. No pun intended.
Did you mean that?
Sebastian is this incredible performer. I wish you. Why can't we just have you walk over here? Come.
We could do that. And just kind of share a microphone here.
Sebastian and I met at a club in Los Angeles called Largo, which is a real hotbed of music and creativity. And it's a place where, you know, actually, this birth of this band really happened at Largo as well. And. Yeah. Anyway, Sebastian was in a band called Soul Coughing once upon a time. He's played with all kinds of people like Fiona Apple and the Watkins family. And anyway, he's...
Nice to have you here.
Tell Marty what you wanted to be when you were a kid, Sebastian.
Yes, we have to sort of roll back the clock here, but go ahead.
Well, when I was young, I wanted to be a subway train.
Truly.
I really did. And bass is about as close as I could get. So
you have to explain.
What's to explain?
I don't know.
My mom said, Sebastian, you don't have wheels, and those aren't rails.
Ah.
So I was heartbroken.
And somehow the bass filled that need.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You get on a track and you groove.
There's a lot of trains in our songs. So
yes.
Oh, interesting.
We got very lucky to find someone who was born to be a train.
Now, where did you grow up, Sebastian?
I grew up in New York and Boston.
And you play bass, what, as a kid? Or?
No, I was a train as a kid. I got a bass when I stopped sucking my thumb.
Oh, truly.
And
I'm afraid to ask, how old was that?
You should be afraid to ask. Older than I should have been,
really?
But young enough to... Well, I actually have found people who were older when they stopped sucking their thumb, so I don't feel so embarrassed. But I'm not going to tell you.
No, obviously. Obviously, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where to go with that, to be perfectly honest with you.
Perfect.
So it was at this place called Largo that you and John Riley kind of hooked up, or
yeah,
or
Largo is really it's sort of the kind of a social center of a certain faction of LA, just where a lot of really wonderful musicians and songwriters and singers can actually get together and do things that aren't normal and perform. I mean, there's this really intimate atmosphere there. It's really acoustically just so you can't really go in there and yell and scream and play very loud. You have to really learn how to listen to each other. And I think, you know, what Becky says about harmony, really, if it weren't for Largo, I think, you know, it would have taken a lot longer for us, but it's such a natural space to play.
Well, it's so nice, I mean, to hear acoustic instruments. I mean, that's what you play, John Riley.
Yeah. I mean, play. In fact, I hate to even plug this guitar in. It does have a little pickup inside of it, but anytime they say, do you want to plug in? It just sounds so much better to just let it be.
Well, it's so interesting because...
There's enough electronic music in the world, and I like all kinds of music, but... I think that's one of the things that people find really appealing about what we do in our show is not only the acoustic quality of the music, but also the fact that we're sincere. You know, it's a pretty cynical world in some ways, kind of snarky out there at times, and I think people find it really refreshing to come and just let their guard down and love each other.
And how big is it? And thanks for coming in and talking to us, Sebastian. I'm still trying to get that connection between the bass and the train, but that's okay. And we'll have Tom come back here and sit in front of the microphone. So, how are you still discovering songs, John Ryan?
Oh, absolutely. We've got. I mean, we could do 5 nights of shows without repeating a song at this point. I mean, we got a good backlog and. One leads to another, like I said, peeling back the layers of that onion, you know, it's, there's gold in them, our hills, Marty.
Yes, to quote the Beverly Hills. How about for lyrics? Do you have trouble remembering or lyrics? Is that an issue for anybody here?
That's a funny
question. You know, once it sets in there.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Cause sometimes,
once it sets, yeah, you're, it's a good question because there's so many songs.
Yes.
Right. How do you keep them all in there? But. Something about us, one of the reasons we pick the songs that we do, and the main reason I'd say is like when you hear a song and you immediately learn that song, especially the melody.
Yeah.
So that kind of secret name of our band is the Eternal Magic Preservation Society, which is eternal magic. These things, for some reason, this song, whether it be Angel Band or Happy Birthday, you know, like these songs, the way these notes are arranged, they just make sense to you as a human being. And so between that kind of thing, learning those melodies and learning the stories of the songs, I find it pretty effortless to actually remember the lyrics. But don't hold me to that.
Because it's true. The songs are like they're like energetic patterns or codes even. And so, you know, in a way that, you know, we take the songs into ourselves to use them as a source of energy and a source of strength and a source of healing, which is how people have used music traditionally. And I think it's an interesting moment in our culture where people consume music more than actually, you know, use it and have it and make it, which is how it has been over time. So we're into that tradition or aspect of music, which is the real use value of, you know, the practical value of playing music together. It is a real source of happiness and strength, and we encourage everyone to learn these songs and sing them. It's really good stuff.
No, I mean, there's nothing like singing songs. And you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY. Tom, you grew up in, was it South or North Dakota? I'm embarrassed that I couldn't.
It's okay. Yeah.
Which one?
I grew up in North Dakota.
So how did you end up in L.A.?
I had a seasonal job at the Sundance Film Festival, and I met a gal out there who brought me to San Diego, and that's how I first got to California.
Really?
And I started playing in San Diego, and I would fly to Boston to play and would drive up to Santa Barbara, go right past L.A. L.A. kind of scared me for the first couple of years when I lived in California.
It's kind of different from North Dakota, isn't it?
Quite a bit, yeah. Whereas San Diego, not so much, you know. San Diego seemed to have, you know, a lot more in common with Grand Forks and the community where I came from, in North Dakota at least. Yeah.
We're almost out of time. Do you have a movie you're working on, or do you do this sort of in-between movie gigs?
Yeah, I do this... I do this to stay inspired, you know. I got a bunch of movies in the can, but I'll come back and talk to you about those, Marty.
Oh,
I promise. If you'll have me back, I'll come and talk to you all about movies. But all of us fit this coming together in between the other things that we do. You know, Becky has a band, Tom has a band, Sebastian has a band. We're all off on our own for most of the year, and then we, you know, when the moment's right and when everyone has the time and ability to come together, we have these community moments. And well, I'm lucky. Count myself very lucky to have these friends.
Well, it's been a great pleasure for us. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us and performing for us as well. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Marty. And thanks to everyone out there for listening.
Indeed. Yeah. And again, John Riley, Tom Brousseau, Becky Stark, and Sebastian Steinberg have been our guests. They are John Riley and Friends, although I think there's another performer to round out the group, but they are playing tonight at World Cafe Live. Excuse me, that's at 8 o'clock in West Philadelphia. Special thanks to our engineers, Joyce Lieberman and Kevin Griffin, for pulling this all together, which they did in just a couple of minutes. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about this program, including how to download a podcast of the show, how to find us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. The producers of Radio Times, Susan Greenbaum, Debbie Bilder, Emily Bryant, and John Ahrens. I'm Marty Moscow, and thank you so much for joining us.